This is a production of the Military Families Learning Network.
Welcome to the Build Your Network, Build Your Resilience podcast. I'm Jessica Beckendorf.
And I'm Bob Birch. Thanks for listening to this podcast and for taking the time to work on your personal and professional resilience. In each of the podcasts, we focus on one of John Stepper's five elements of working out loud.
Today, we'll be discussing visible work. Sharing what's on our mind as we work and live opens ourselves up to possibilities we couldn't have planned for by allowing others to connect with and adjust to us. Well, like we've been doing in each of these podcasts, we want to start this section out by celebrating the fact that you are here and that you're striving to work on your resilience and to work on making your work visible. So what does making your work visible mean? There's a lot of different ways that this can be approached. It's not necessarily taking, you know, the report that you're working on and sharing that with a whole bunch of people. I tend to think about this in the way of trying to share what's on my mind while I'm working. So one way that I'll do that is I might tweet about something I'm working on or something that I just read that I'm really excited about and what it was that really connected with me. You know, and I do that in the hopes that I'm going to connect with somebody else that feels the same way.
It's a difficult concept to kind of get your mind around if you're not used to sharing your work in this way, and especially if you don't work in an area where sharing your work is part of the culture. I think of a time when I just did some quick writing in response to a question that somebody had, and I was feeling a little bit unsure of myself in the response. So I drafted that. I just shared it with people who are in my circle, in my network, that I knew might understand what I was talking about. And I got some incredible validation out of that. People saying, you know, good job, or you did a nice job on this. And I got a lot of great feedback and even more content to improve the answer that I was trying to deliver to the person who asked me the question. So that's an example, but it's an example that's maybe a down the road example. In the working out loud process, we're always taking small steps towards our goals regarding the different elements, and visible work is really no different.
So the term visible is not the same as being open or public. Bob, you just mentioned that you shared something with just a small group of people that were already in your network. So we can make our work visible to specific people or maybe in a specific context only. We're not necessarily talking about publishing your work out in the world for everyone to see.
We might also take a different look at what the word work means in this context, especially when we're building networks for resilience. I don't think in this context we can limit our definition of work to our job duties or pieces that we produce, the reports that we produce, or even just our career aspirations, our professional aspirations, because we're really trying to build social support networks. We need to think of our work a little bit more broadly and share the work that we're doing to become a better parent, or the work we're doing to help people in our community, or the work we're doing to take better care of ourselves and practice self-care, and any of the work that we're doing to be more engaged and happy as individuals. If we take that approach to work, we might, in making our work visible, be able to build more diverse and stronger networks in that social support sector. So we're not just looking for collaborators on our work or partners on our work, but we're really looking for a network of people who care about the same kinds of things we care about and will help support and nurture us in our efforts.
Any creator of anything knows this feeling. You experience someone else's innovative work. It's beautiful, brilliant, breathtaking. You're stunned. Their ideas are unexpected and surprising, but perfect. You think, I never would have thought about that. How do they even come up with that? It's genius. Afterwards, you think, my ideas are so obvious. I'll never be as inventive as that. I get this feeling often. Amazing books, music, movies, or even amazing conversations. I'm in awe at how the creator thinks like that. I'm humbled. But I continue to do my work. I tell my little tales. I share my point of view. Nothing spectacular, just my ordinary thoughts. So one day someone emailed me and said, "I never would have thought about that. How did you even come up with that? It's genius." Of course, I disagreed and I explained why it was nothing special. But afterwards, I realized something surprisingly profound. Everybody's ideas seem obvious to them. I'll bet even John Coltrane or Richard Feynman felt that everything they were playing or saying was pretty obvious. So maybe what's obvious to me is amazing to someone else. Hit songwriters in interviews often admit that their most successful hit song was one they just thought was stupid and not even worth recording. We're clearly a bad judge of our own creations. We should just put it out and let the world decide. Are you holding back something that seems too obvious to share?
That was the voice of Derek Sivers. Whenever I think about visible work, I think about those words from Derek. I discovered them in a YouTube video, "Obvious to You, Amazing to Others." And it really spoke to me because it really speaks to why I sometimes hesitate to share my work. I have a self-talk when I think about sharing something that might go something like, "Oh, I'm sure somebody's shared about that before, or someone's written about that before, or, you know, I could share this and write about what I think about this, but I can think of like three other people who know more about this than I do, or could put it in words in a better way than I can." So that idea, it might be obvious to you, or it might be commonplace to you, or you might even just think that what you're sharing is not worth sharing somehow. It might be something that's amazing to others. And that seems to be how it works a lot of times, Jessica, is maybe the thing that we share where we think, "Oh boy, I'm going to get a lot of response to this," doesn't get any response. And the thing that we think, "I'm just sharing what I'm thinking right now," or "sharing what I'm working on right now, it's no big deal." That's the stuff that we sometimes can really connect with people.
Yeah, you can't see me right now, but I'm going to get whiplash. I'm nodding my head up and down so much right now. It really resonates with me, not only the Derek Sivers message, but what you were just saying. I have a hard time sharing my work also for very similar reasons. And one of the things I've been told over and over about certain traits that I have is that people really appreciate those particular strengths. And I don't even understand that they're strengths, and I'm learning, and I'm trying to build on those so that I can wield their power perhaps a little bit better than I currently do. But the thing that I like to think about is, what if by sharing our work, we help one person or two? You know, why would we hold back from that?
It goes back to what we talked about in the last podcast about generosity. If you take that to heart, then the self-talk that I described and what you described in terms of being anxious about sharing your work, it sort of matters less, right? Mm-hmm. Because if we were doing this in a generous way, then we shouldn't be worried about being judged. I mean, that's what's going on with my self-talk, is that I'm afraid someone's going to read what I shared or see what I shared and go, "Oh my gosh, that's been done before. Why would we need to hear from him?" Right?
Right.
And so it is about what my expectations are, my potential need for validation. And it's not really an act of generosity. If I really want to share stuff in that spirit of generosity we talked about last time, then I really shouldn't care about that stuff. And I should care more about what you talked about, that maybe this will help somebody.
For me, besides the same kind of thoughts you have going on in your head, I also have, who do I think I am to put this out here? I'm sure there's so many other thought leaders in this area. That's me talking about even just a simple tweet. I'll think stuff like this. You know, I'll put together a whole workshop, or I'll put together a white paper of some sort. And I'm thinking all the way from the tiny little tweet, or sharing a thought in a group of people, right? They're all talking about a topic that I understand and I know about. But for me, even to share a thought in that group, you'd think that I would be less afraid to share my thoughts, and I'm not. I very much have these thoughts go through my mind and the split second that it takes for me to judge myself.
I think that self-doubt comes into play. And like you said, it can come into play when we're thinking about sharing something publicly on Twitter, maybe that lots of people potentially might see, or even in a small group. And I think the way that we deal with that is through practice. And when I think about the fact that we shared the Derek Sivers audio earlier, what a generous contribution it was from Derek. I reached out to him and I asked, is it all right if we use this? And he wasn't looking to make any financial gain out of it in order to use his words as part of the message that we're trying to deliver today. And that was just a simple act of generosity. When somebody reaches out to you, instead of thinking about what you might have to gain or how you can leverage this for your own benefit, just sharing is in an act of generosity is a way to make that work visible.
Well, I'm going to put an emphasis on that point by sharing a quote from Stephen Pressfield. It kind of puts an emphasis on the fact that visible work is a gift. Stephen Pressfield from The War of Art says, "Creative work is not a selfish act or a bid for attention on the part of the actor. It's a gift to the world and every being in it. Don't cheat us of your contribution. Give us what you've got." That has always resonated with me, and I like to read over and over that it's not a selfish act or a bid for attention. And that's exactly what we're talking about as we have this negative self-talk before we share our work.
I love how Pressfield frames our visible work as these acts of generosity. In the last podcast, we talked a little bit about that tension between generosity and our own benefit from the working out loud process and how that can kind of feel a little weird that we're trying to be generous, but we know we expect to get something out of this, right? And in the end, we want to build a strong social support network to help us be more resilient. So we are going to get some benefit from it. And I think that comes up again here when we talk about visible work, because I love talking about it as a gift, as something to be offered freely, but we do expect something back from it. And I think one of the things that we get back when we do that are stronger relationships, more important and meaningful relationships, because by making our work visible, by giving that gift, we give something to center the relationship around. When you first get to know somebody, if they're going to be somebody who's part of your social support network who nurtures you, they need some practice doing that. You kind of throw some things out there and see what they're going to do with that, right? We make ourselves vulnerable to each other. And so I think that's what you're doing when you're making your work visible. You're giving people something to react to. I talked about the piece that I wrote and shared with just a small group from my network. That was another opportunity, right? To see, am I on the right track? It's also an important moment in the cultivation of my support network, because the people that I did get feedback from and the nature of that feedback sort of dictated in some ways, you know, how strongly and intentionally I kind of pursued the connections with those people.
I think sharing this way also creates an alignment with what's really important to you. And it's sort of like the action part, right? We've been thinking about things. We know there are certain things that are important with us. And now we're actually going to start sharing about it. And doing this really aids in our ability to be more authentic. Being able to acknowledge our gifts through sharing our work, being able to share in this way helps you to be more authentic, because you're starting to share what's behind, you know, your actions.
I think that's how we find those support networks. A colleague of mine, Brian Fredrickson, has done some work studying online networks that were really support networks around couples who were struggling with infertility and going through all the different things that people can go through there. You know, in order to get that feeling of support and connectedness in that kind of group, you could start out sort of what we call in online communities lurking. You can start out just knowing that there's other people going through similar things that you're going through and get some feeling of support from that. But there, if you're going to get real nurturing support for what you're going through, there's a point where you have to make yourself vulnerable. If you're going to find the real support for your specific situation, if you're going to find the validation and the nurturing and potentially the challenging to help you think and grow, then you need to make yourself visible to the people that you want to be in your network.
You know, this reminds me of a friend of mine who, she and her husband had been trying to have a baby, and every single time she and her husband became pregnant, they told everybody they knew, even if it was within a few weeks, which a lot of people stay away from, right? They don't want to tell anyone until it's been 3 months. And she asked me once, do you think it's a mistake that we tell everybody each time? Because they went through 5 miscarriages and it was devastating each time for them. When she was on her her last miscarriage before they did eventually have a baby, she asked me, do you think that this is a mistake telling people early on? Immediately, without missing a beat, I said, absolutely not. You have so many people to support you. So you're telling everybody immediately, and people are rallying around you because they know that you and your husband have been trying and trying and trying. And when you experience the disappointment of a miscarriage, you have so many people around you, rallying around you and giving you emotional support, providing support in whatever way you need it. So otherwise, you would just be doing this alone, the two of you.
I imagine there's people out there who would feel differently. I think that speaks to the personal nature of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
When we're talking about building networks for resilience, it's for your resilience. It's mm-hmm. for your personal and or professional resilience. And that's about you and what you need to feel supported and what you need to get through these stressful events. And so if you would make a different determination about that, or if you had been through a similar situation as Jessica's friend had, and you would go about it differently, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Good point.
But it doesn't stop you from being intentional about building the kind of network that will support you. And I think that the point that we're trying to make about visible work and resilience is that you need to find your way of sharing so that people can practice that support. And if your way of sharing is not sharing the news of a new pregnancy early on so that you can feel that rally around you, if it's something different, that's okay too. But at some point, we need to be vulnerable and open about the things we care about the work we're doing and the things that we value so that others can practice their support of us. One of the things that can keep you from making your work visible is this feeling like everything has to be perfect. You are sharing something with others and there is a chance that they're going to react to it in some way. We talked about this a little bit in the last podcast when we talked about generosity, is that there is an aspect of vulnerability here. But that can really just be paralyzing. If you don't feel like you're good enough or you know enough, so I can't share what I think or what I feel about this issue that's affecting my community, or I don't want to share how I'm working on something like my parenting skills because it might make me look like a bad parent, and I'll wait, I'll share later, right, when I'm a better parent and I sound like the perfect parent, then I'll share. But really, you'll never get there. And I don't mean that in a way like you will never get there. None of us will ever get there. None of us are perfect. I think we started off this podcast series with this idea that came from your experience where a yoga instructor said to the group, this is yoga practice, not yoga perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's such a powerful message in the working out loud process and this idea of building networks and in this specific context of making our work visible. It's never going to be perfect because nothing is in life. Mm-hmm. So we need to make our work visible and do our sharing now. We need to practice that because that's going to inform making us better, not just at making our work visible, but at whatever it is that we care about. If we don't feel like we know enough about a topic to comment in the community, think about how much more we might learn if we actually make that comment and learn from others and hear their experiences and perspectives. If we feel like we're not the perfect parent, but we're willing to share our experiences maybe not out in the wild in the open, but even in small groups or with people who are on our relationship list, how might those connections help support us in becoming better and learning more about parenting? So the only way that we're going to get there is to practice, right? And to find more information and to connect with people who can support us in reaching our goals.
So getting started in this element of working out loud, we always start with making space in your life for visible work. We've shared this a couple of times, and I think it's appropriate here as well. A quote from Ryan Nemec: to value is to give something our attention and therefore place our energy on it. Making space in your life for visible work requires putting some energy into it and some attention as well. You can schedule it. This doesn't have to be spontaneous or random, but it can be. And I think, you know, the idea of making space sounds like, oh boy, I might have to set aside a whole bunch of time to make space for this particular element. Oh my gosh, there are 5 elements. I have to set aside space for all 5 of them, right? But for the most part, and especially as you practice more and more, things come quicker to you. You can do things in small ways. They can be real small things online. It can be a simple email sharing your thoughts or your idea with somebody. It can be just a conversation that you're already in the middle of and you decide to share something related to the work that you've been doing and the thinking you've been doing. And so I just want to remind you that we're asking you to make space for all 5 of these elements in your life, but you can do this in very small ways that hopefully will not feel like it's a burden on your time.
So your one thing for this week is based on these 10 examples of contributions that come from John Stepper's work. And these will be on the podcast page. They'll also be in the email that you got that led you to this podcast, if you're a subscriber. I'm just going to run through some of these types: sharing your research, sharing your ideas, your projects, your process for doing something, your motivations, why you did what you did, sharing your challenges, sharing something you've learned, sharing the work of others that you admire, sharing your connections, and sharing content from your network. So those are 10 different types of contributions that you can make. So this week, we're going to ask you to go through that list of 10 types of contributions and think specifically about the contribution you'd like to make that fits that type. Then think about who you'd want to share that contribution with and why you think they would be interested in that small gift. We talked about generosity last week, and when we talk about visible work and these contributions, we want you to think of them as gifts. When you give gifts, you think about the needs of that person, what that person might want, why they might like this gift, right? And you're intentional about it. So that's what we're asking you to do here. So as Jessica said before, the contributions can be really simple. I said share your research as the first one. And maybe what popped in your mind is like, I'm not an academic or I'm not a scientist. I don't have research that I do. Everybody does research. My wife is currently researching what kind of car to buy. And in the past, I've researched what kind of microphone I wanted to buy for my podcast. And maybe you've researched the best places to find childcare in your community. Everybody does research, right? We gather information. And so that's something that you can share. What research have you gathered and who might benefit from that? And why would they be interested in it? That's all we're asking you to do for each one of those. We talked about process. There's lots of different processes. What's your process for making the shopping list and making sure that you and your spouse or partner, or you and your child, or you and your parent don't end up buying, you know, the same shopping list when you're out at the store or forgetting all of the same things? What's your process for managing a family calendar? And you have kids and activities and things to do for work and in your community. Those are all potential contributions. So think about those. See if you can come up with one for each type. And if you have some time this week, go ahead and share one. And we'd love to hear about what you shared and who you shared it with and why you shared it with them. Remember, we're practicing generosity. We're not just looking for visible work that's going to impress people or get us the next job or somehow get us ahead in life. We're trying to give out of a place of generosity, small gifts in that spirit can build our relationships and set us on the road to building networks for resilience.
As we close this episode out, we'd like to recognize you for striving to make resilience part of your daily life and for making the commitment to sharing what's on your mind, sharing what's important to you with others.
And we'd love if you could do that with us as well. There's a couple of opportunities I'm going to draw your attention to. We have all the same options that we've had for past podcast episodes. You can find those on the podcast page. But a couple of special opportunities. One is on April 10th, 2018. We will be having a discussion via webinar on using what we've learned in this Working Out Loud process and in building networks to help military families or the other people that you work with if you are a helping professional or a service provider. We'd love to have you be a part of that conversation, and we'd love to have you co-create that conversation as well. So if you want to find out more about that, just go to militaryfamilies.extension.org and search for WOL Resilience. That'll lead you to the Building Networks for Resilience Learning Experience page. There'll be a link there to the webinar discussion and much more. So we invite you to do that. As always, you can email us at mflnnetworkliteracy@gmail.com, and you can call and leave us a voicemail or text us at 612-524-9965. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. We really do appreciate it. And we want you to keep on practicing, making your work visible, and building your networks for resilience. This material is based on work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense Award Number 2015-48770-24368.